So back then to when he opens a permanent studio here in Locust Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that where the property?
Yes, here? this is where they wound up. They lived in town for a couple of years, and they then this place came up, and they bought it for like $1 an acre, I think. And they have 60 acres here.
All right. And there are two houses here. Did he live in one of these two houses?
Okay. Well, this one here, there's one house.
Yeah.
Behind it is one of his shop buildings. He started with a little old building right up here on the hill.
Okay.
And then he built this one right behind the house so he could just go out the back door and up the steps into his shop. And that's where he worked. And then he outgrew that one and he built another one. So he's had three different shop buildings on this property.
But he never saw this museum.
Yes, he's the one that built this museum.
He built this that we are sitting in
right now. In the mid-70s.
Okay.
Mid to late 70s.
And all around it, it's not all that big a room. I don't know what the dimensions are.
24 by 30, I think it's.
All right. And his work encircles the whole place. And it's extremely interesting. And those of you who are interested in his life, which everybody should be, you ought to at least come here. We'll talk about your plans for the future of this. But there he has a bust of Henry Bellman, which became bronze in our state capitol. We talked about the Abraham Lincoln bust that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go around and you could, I can't, talk about everything. But I want you to know it's all surrounded by his beautiful work.
All the small pieces belong to what's called Sophie's Doghouse Collection. Whenever they would get in an argument and she wouldn't talk to him and he couldn't stand that. So he'd go carve her a little carving and bring it in and give it to her. And he said that was to get him out of the doghouse. So all these little carvings are from Mom's doghouse collection.
He'd get in trouble with his wife,
yes,
Sophie.
Sophie, yes.
So then he'd carve her a little
to
dog.
To get her getting good with her again. So, yeah.
That's cute. And so that collection is sitting over here.
Yes.
Did you remember watching him work?
Yes, I do. Like I said, I followed him around from little. I was with him all the time. I don't know. I just was interested in art all my life. And so I'd follow him around, but he would hold his chisel in his right hand without those fingers because he's right-handed. And he would hold the chisel like this in his hand, and he would guide it with his left hand. And I can still see that in my head. I wrote a story over there called Around the Workbench, and that kind of talks about how, but I can just still see his hands doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
overcame that disability.
Mm-hmm.
And his first workbench is sitting right over here.
Yes.
I have taken a picture of that in the last couple of pieces that he was actually working on when he died. You know, it's interesting that this talent will spring up in any small town. You don't have to be in a big town to have talent.
Right.
It springs up everywhere because his work began to be exhibited on a regional basis and nationally as well.
Mm-hmm. He started out going to little weekend art shows. Like, I remember, and my two sisters and I, we were real close in age, and he would have Mom braid our hair. We always had have our hair braided. And he would take us to these weekend art shows with him, and he would show us off, and we were real shy, so we just giggled, and he told them that we couldn't speak English, that we only spoke Cherokee. And anyway, we would do that. And he would pull his station wagon up to his booth and open the back and set a little table out, and he'd sit there and carve. He did not like doing that at all. He wasn't real comfortable around people. And he just wanted to carve. He just wanted to be here carving, and which is one reason why he built this building, because people stopped by all the time, and they wanted to visit with him, and he was trying to work. And so he built this so they could see his work. Mom could show him his work, and he could still be,
in another shop
working.
Right near here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I probably can understand that.
Well, it's hard to get any work done. Not that he, obviously he wanted people to see his work, and... But that wasn't the most important thing to him. The most important thing to him was just doing it. It was just inside him so much, and he just had to do it.
He actually cast in ceramic and bronze?
Yes, he, that's the little Exodus, which is the Cherokee Nation owns the large Exodus. And he did a trilogy called The Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm.
The Uprooted is at the Five Civilized Tribes Museum in Muskogee, And then he did the Exodus, which belongs to the Cherokee Nation, and then Transplanted, which belongs to the Cherokee Nation. So those three pieces tell the story of the Trail of Tears. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, he people wanted more, so he made three different sizes of the Exodus because he didn't ever want to make two of the same thing. He didn't want to make copies of it because that, you know, that was boring to him. And but he made the little Exodus, and someone had copied it and made a really, really bad copy of it, and he made him a little upset. And so he carved a little one, and they made a mold off of it. And then he bought mom the stuff to make ceramics with. So she and my sister would make the ceramics, and then we made it into bronze. That's bronze there. That one's bronze.
I have just set the Exodus bronze in front of me.
It's like two teardrops. And this is a teardrop, and this is a teardrop.
And why is it called Exodus?
Because when they had to leave their home in Tennessee and Georgia,
that's the Exodus. He's calling that the Trail of Tears, and he called it Exodus.
Well, the trilogy was called the Trail of Tears. The three pieces together were the Trail of Tears trilogy. This is the first piece in the trilogy called the Exodus, is when they were walking, actually had to leave and come mm-hmm. to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That's what this one represents. Mm-hmm. The first one was the Uprooted, was where they were uprooted from their home mm-hmm. and sent on the trail, and then this is while they were on the trail. And then the Transplanted shows the mother and the baby and her planting something in the ground, and they were thanking God for giving them a new home and a good place to grow their crops and raise their families. So that's what Transplanted is.
Like a piece like I'm looking at in front of me, how long do you think it would take him to carve that?
He could actually do them this size, you know, fairly quick. Now, the original this, you know, it's like...
So would it take him a couple of weeks, a month? Or?
A couple of weeks, maybe he could do one like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bigger ones, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Depending on how detailed it was, you know.